He does for me, I know. I'm unworthy of Him all. And for His blessings He freely gives, I owe my life to Him. I've got so much to thank Him for. And I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for, you see. He has been so good to me. And when I think of what He's done and where He has brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Well, sometimes while on the way I stop to kneel and pray, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And someday I reach heaven, sure, oh, please let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank Him for. And when I think of Calvary, the joy that He did for me, I know. Shed His blood for me, and I just lift my voice and say thank you for your saving grace. I've got so much to thank Him for, and I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for, you see. He has been so good to me, and when I think of what He's done and brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for.
That's a true song if there ever was one. We've got a lot to be thankful for. As we say, we count our blessings. Sometimes I tell you, it's amazing how many blessings we do have in this world that God has granted us. And one of them is the privilege to be able to read from God's Word. And that's something that we take for granted. I hope you brought your Bible. And I'd love for you to read with us. Many times I'm reluctant to give you the scripture in the right spot. But let's go to the book of Luke this morning, the 15th chapter. The 15th chapter of the book of Luke. We always seem to look at the latter part of the story of the prodigal son. We always kind of think about what God is able to do. This morning, I'm just starting here, but there's a difference when you read the book and you know what the end is going to be. I know. That one day soon, heaven's our home if we've been born again. Now that's a wonderful thing. It's coming. Being born again guarantees me a home in heaven. Guarantees me a lot of things that I'm going to receive. But as Brother Dusty already mentioned, those things really don't matter. But being with the Lord throughout eternity sure matters right there to me. And that's a blessing. That's something. But I want us to read the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. And I want to start in verses number 11, the first part of it. The Bible said, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Notice, he divided unto them. Even though the only one son asked, he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted substance with righteous living. May we pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word. And I ask you, God, to look at all of our hearts. Prepare us, God, for your word. God, find all the weakness and find all the sins. God, look in our heart and examine us. And God, all those imperfections, God, we just pray not to make us better, but God, help us to realize the treasures that we behold only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you do. Touch that one that's lost in Jesus' name. Amen. Two sons, an inheritance. We know what's going to end up in just a little bit, but two sons and one inheritance. I don't know how much this man had, but he had enough. He had enough and to spare. He had plenty. He may not have been like a Job. He may not have had that kind of substance, but he had enough substance that handled it very carefully would probably last you a while. Now I know in our society there's a lot of folks that get a big inheritance from family. And if they say, well, if he does it right, now he's set for life. And if he doesn't do it right, what happens? It's easier to look for somebody to make a mistake than it is to do something right, isn't it? It's easier to look for the wrongs in life, and sometimes it's easier to look to the rights in life. This young man, he had eyes that sometimes we have. There's not a one of us that sat in here sometimes in our younger days thought that our parents didn't have the right thinking, right motives, right moves. I'm not going to do what they did. I'm going to do what I want to do. This individual was willing to accept what his father gave him. He wanted his inheritance, and by accepting what his father gave, it then belonged to him to do what he wanted to. It's a possession. It's a material gain. And in fact, he could have stayed right there with his family the rest of the time. And you know, family is very important. It's a wonderful structure if you follow kind of the family rules. In fact, whenever we think of Abraham getting his father and his all the family, and they went on this journey, following the family rules, that means when somebody of your family died, you mourn. But when a family member has a child, you would rejoice. So there's a lot of family responsibilities, we might say. Family good, family bad. This man, whenever he was maybe in young in age, but he was old enough, hopefully, to have a little bit of wisdom. Up to this point, he let daddy kind of rule the household. Daddy said the yes and the no. Daddy would give directions to do this or do that. In fact, a lot of times in our life, being told to do something may or may not be what we wanted in life. Because there was two sons, one of them was willing to be obedient to what his father really wanted him to do. Even after he got his inheritance, he stayed home. Think with me just a little bit. Whenever the other one that's fixing to get up and pack his bags and leaves, whenever he was, before he was going to leave, he could have called on God to give him direction. He could have said, now God, I know there may have been things in my life, but God, I'm going to leave home. I don't think this boy did that. I don't think that he actually asked God which direction. You remember when Lot had a direction to choose? Whenever he chose one direction and Abraham said, whatever you go, I'll just go the other. You see, there's a lot of wisdom in choosing a direction. And like choosing a church.
Like sometimes we like to think about this when some young people choose their spouses. A lot of wisdom. There ought to be a lot of praying about in anything. When you buy a house or buy a car, when you have children, there's a lot of wisdom. In fact, the leadership of God in every aspect of our life ought to be what we do. We ought to ask God in everything. The Bible tells us to give thanks for everything. We ought to ask God for everything. Direction. This young man decided that he was going to gather his goods and go. Which that's okay if he'd have went with God. But he had a different way of life that he wanted to do. And with that different way of life, whenever he left his family, when he left his father on that day, bags full of money, bags full of ideas and dreams. And whenever he left that time, whenever he left, he had no intention of ever coming back home. You see, sometimes there's things like pride gets in the way. Sometimes there are things like, well, Daddy just don't know. You see, a lot of decisions that me and you have made when we got older, we thought we were really smart, and sometimes we weren't as smart as we thought we were. So he left, and he went away, and he was willing to live the life of partying, the big world, doing my own thing, having my own way of life, thinking that the ways of the old are gone and now we're going into a new. And if you don't think that's the way a lot of folks live today, that's their lifestyle of what I can do next. And you know, the whole time, God is just sitting in the background. Famine, pestilence, all kinds of problems all of a sudden hit this old boy. Why is it that things happen sometimes to every single one of us? I wish y'all would get all those problems and let me be exempt. I wish you'd get them and get my portion with you. But that ain't how it works. Every one of us have troubles. In fact, if we had the time to really talk about our troubles, sometimes mine's not near as bad as yours. And sometimes the troubles that you have, I'm glad I got my troubles. Think with me just a moment. We all know the Bible story. The Bible story wasted all of his substance. He got so bad he went to the hog pens and he eat what they eat. The thing, the level that you never thought you'd go to, never thought you'd get in, you never thought you'd stoop to that level, and bingo, that's the level you're at. We never think it'll get as bad as it gets, but sometimes it'll get worse. But here, we know this part. It's a whole lot easier how we act when we leave home. It's a whole lot easier. You think it over in your mind. You get in your own ideas. You think mom and daddy don't know, but you get all these things in your mind and you pack up your bags and you're headed out of town. You got all these dreams, all these wishes. And then when reality sets in, he come back home. And you know what happened to that boy? Whenever he come back home, what do you say on your return trip? What do you say? What do you do when your way of thinking didn't work? When your lifestyle didn't work? When the way that you wanted to live didn't work? In fact, when Abraham traveled a separate direction than Lot, had his own way of thinking, his own way of viewing. Do you notice the Bible doesn't say Abraham said you're going the wrong direction? It didn't say in that Bible, Lot, you might ought to reconsider and you take mine, let me take that area. In fact, God lets us make decisions in life that we sometimes say, man, if I'd have only went the other way. If I'd only went, if I'd only chose, if that direction wouldn't, oh. I'm a day late. I'm a dollar short. A friend of mine, when he made that return trip, what do you say? What do you say? Now, we know according to the Bible, whenever he goes back, he said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Boy, if we look what we would say on that return trip, I think our life would be a lot different if we think about it before we ever left. Matthew's gospel tells us a story about Jesus was going along with his disciples. And they were traveling, and all of a sudden there comes somebody down the road running. And when that fella come up to Jesus, here's what he says. Lord, what can I do to have eternal life? Now, that's a legitimate question. There is nothing wrong spiritually with somebody coming up to any one of us and say, what can I do to get eternal life? Boy, all of us Bible thumpers, we'd open up that Bible and we'd say, look right there. There it is. And if you was to say, my heart's desire for the rest of my life is to have eternal life, boy, we'd start reading into things. If somebody was to come say, you know what, every time them church doors is open, you're going to find me running right through it. I'm going to sit on the front row. I'm going to be in that choir. You need somebody to pray, I'll volunteer. Boy, we just get all enthused. That fella come up and says, Lord, I got a lot of things. Now, Lord knew, he didn't say none of this. I got a lot of things. I got a lot of power. I've got about everything. I just need that one thing. Man, Jesus received that, heard what he had to say, and said, listen, it's just simple. If you want eternal life, give it up. Give it up. Bible said the man turned around, went away sorrowful because he had great possessions and wouldn't give it up. You know, the Bible never records that man making that second trip to Jesus. He didn't have a return trip. The prodigal son, he got about as low and low as life as he could possibly get. And he was willing to, as we call it, eat a little crow, come back home. Maybe it wasn't so bad after all. But when that rich young ruler went away, he was not willing to change one thing to get eternal life. He wanted everything to remain the same. I wonder if that prodigal son wanted that same thing, to leave home and nothing ever change with what his heart's desire. Back 100 years ago, whenever I started working in the public realm, I took a little simple job. And, you know, whenever you're hungry, you'll take a job, okay? And I took a simple job. And that simple job, man, was an hourly job. And that hourly job didn't pay a lot. And it was the lowest of low jobs. In other words, you come in and do the job nobody else wants to do. And I was tickled to death to get it. 45 years later, I walked out of there. I mean, I was just stupid enough to stay. But the reality of it was, when I took that job, boy, I was just proud. I tickled to death to get it. And if they'd have said, you're going to stay in this job for 45 years doing that very same thing, I don't think I'd have ever been thankful like I was that first day. After a period of time, I'd have got bored with it. After a period of time, my wishes and desires would have changed, and I wouldn't want to stay in that same position.
but I was blessed to get a job. Now you listen and you listen carefully. God knows the needs when you're on the lowest of the jobs. God knows that that boy, that prodigal son, did not want to feed pigs. But you know what? Sometimes feeding pigs makes you appreciate. It makes you appreciate a lot of things in life. The smell that you get at a pig pen is overwhelming sometimes. You can just be so happy. Walking through the mud and the stuff when you're feeding animals and your boots come off because you're stuck in the mud makes you appreciate things in life. Now listen to me. When that prodigal son left, he had no idea what God was going to bring him through. But boy, that return trip changed him. But when the rich young ruler was given one simple, easy task, he chose not to make a return trip. He actually chose to live the remainder of what we know in the Bible, his remainder of his life, doing the same thing that he was doing. The only difference was he got older in his position. In fact, instead of calling him a rich young ruler, we could have called him an old ruler. Got more and more and more. Is that not the example of what we're having today in this world? People that are obtaining millions and millions. In fact, we keep up with statistics today that there's so many the richest people in the world. You can look it up, as we say. You can Google that, and there's a few of them in America that's got so many billions of dollars, and they're not stopping. They want more. Why am I saying all of this? Why have we got to the part where we're looking at what do we say and what do we do on our return trip? He brought himself down to where he was at the beginning. That's what the prodigal son did. He was in the same shape because before his father ever gave him one nickel of his inheritance. Ain't that the way he come back? He come back the same way. Before his father gave him anything, he had nothing. And when he come back from his way of life, he had nothing. See, that's the same thing that the rich young ruler had it one day. Because when you're given something, what do you have before it's given to you? What do you have before it's given to you? In fact, one day I made a visit to an altar and I didn't have a thing in this world. Not one thing. Because the Lord didn't say, bring me your money and I'll give you salvation. I didn't have anything to offer. My offering, what I could bring had nothing, had no value, had in fact everything that I could have ever gave to God throughout my entire life is not but a drop in the bucket to what God has. And God didn't want nothing I had. The only thing that I could bring to the table was my soul. My first trip to Jesus, he gave me everything. Everything. When Jesus went to Calvary's cross, stick with me on my thinking now. When Jesus went to Calvary's cross, before he got to the cross, there was men of different statues that would do things like spit upon him, pluck out his beard,
beat upon him, laid stripes on him, done all the things that he did. In fact, while he was on the cross, mockery, pierced his side, nailed him to the cross. Every single thing that Jesus went through, not a word was said. And out of all those things, there was going to be in the mind of Christ a return trip. He's going to come back. When Jesus was on the Mount of Ascension right before he leaves for his final time, the Bible said as he began to ascend, go up, come up. Jesus did not say this. Others, in fact, angels said this. Jesus appeared, starts to go up, and they said, why stand ye here gazing? That same Jesus which you see go shall return in like manner. Now listen to me. When he comes back, there's not going to be anybody slapping him on the cheek, nor plucking out his beard, nor piercing his side. There's no mockery going to take place. You see, the condition of the Lord when he left this world, he left to pay my sin debt, your sin. He took my condition that I was in. Friend, my return trip is a whole lot different than when the Lord comes back. The Lord, whenever he leaves, they may have done it all to him then, but they'll not do it to him again. You see, it's a difference when you make a return trip. It's a difference when me and you leave than when we return. Whenever I left, I had to leave my sins at the altar. And he said, one day you'll return. Now, I'm not really talking about returning to here, but oh, I get to come back. I'm going to leave this world. The Lord tarries. They're going to stick me in the ground, throw me in, lock me in that casket, say, you're done. But I got news for you. I'm not done. The Lord is going to return. And guess what? He's going to let me come back with him. I shall even make a return trip. Every one of us that's born again will make a return trip to this earth. I'll walk on this earth one more time. You think about it. Wait a minute. Why am I saying that? I've got a condition to live in right now today. Right now I get to live in a condition. If I choose to live like a prodigal son, I can be blessed to have what the Father gives me right here. Remember that rich young ruler? He could have been blessed to have what Jesus gave him right there on that day. That fella could have walked away with eternal life by believing what Jesus said. There would have been no physical transaction. He would have not got a piece of paper and said, I give all of my goods to everybody else. I'm giving them to the poor right here. I'm giving them all up. That would have been a transaction. You know, the prodigal son didn't sign, here's half your inheritance, sign this, make sure everybody knows. See, it's not a verbal written paper. On the day I got saved, I didn't join the church. My name wasn't recorded in Pilgrim's Baptist Church roll. No. It wasn't where I was at, Evergreen Church. I never joined Evergreen Baptist Church. That's the church I got saved. I never did. Why? My church membership will lead me to hell. And your church membership will lead you to hell. But friend of mine, I get to make a return trip one day. All because of my master. Because ain't that what the prodigal son, he had a master? Ain't that what the rich young ruler had? He actually had a master. And friend, you actually have a master. I never realized it. Fooled around with a bunch of horses whenever I was growing up a little bit. And I talked to a horse. You ever talk to a horse? If you don't, you're missing out a good conversation. It's maybe one-sided, but it's good conversation. And I talked to a horse, and I'd say some things like, "You're stupid." You know, now get that horse's head. You're just crazy. But I had a lot of good conversations. And most of the time, I'd think I'd get my way through and get on that horse sometimes, and that horse would just like, we never had a conversation at all. I'd just get through telling him, get on that horse and ride, and it just seemed like, what good did it do me to talk to that horse? It did. They never listened. Kind of reminded me of me. Sometimes God actually should have called me stupid, and I don't think he ever did, but it seemed like it'd get my attention. And he just talked to me, and he would tell me, and he would say, listen, do this. And it was just like, let's go for a ride. And I wouldn't do anything that I was told. I wouldn't get nothing right. But I'm so glad that he didn't save me because of my abilities or my listening or my doing. I'm glad God didn't look at me and said, is this all you got? Because, friend of mine, that was all I had, was nothing. He looked at me and said, there's something deeper inside than what's on the outside. Them old dumb horses that are cows or whatever was feeding, they'd be sometimes you get bit, stomped, whatever happened that they do to you, and I think it's payback. But the reality of it was, every time you'd feed them, it seemed like they was always grateful for whatever food you gave them. And I don't care how bad I've sinned, it seems like I'm always grateful for what God gives me. I've had pinto beans till sometimes pinto beans, man, I don't want another pinto bean. You know what I mean? Boy, it sure is good to have pinto beans when you're hungry. My friend, God knows how we're going to react when we think and we leave home. But God knows also what's going to happen on our return trip. How are you going to act when you come back home? I'm not talking about your earthly home. I'm talking about when you come back to God. You may be out of the will of God today, and you just kind of playing along. God knows whether you're meaning business or not. God knows whether you got 2 feet in this deal or you're just halfway in. I'm glad to know God knows on my return trip how I'm going to act. How I'm going to act. How I'm going to do. What I'm going to say. Because don't you think that old boy, just like the rich young ruler, don't you think there were some pretty stupid things come out of his mouth, and you don't think there's not stupid things coming out of mine and your mouth? We're wrong. We do things contrary to the will of God. But he's always there, like that prodigal son's daddy, open arms, waiting on us to come back. And that's all we need to pray is, Lord, come on back. Just come on back. He said, my servants have enough and to spare. You know something? Even when we're out of God's will, we know what God wants, what his desires, and what his wishes. If you're out of God's will, you ought to get your heart right with him and let God live in through you. Let him have his being in you. Let's have a song of invitation tonight. I don't know the Lord any greater than I do right now. He can tell me something. And you know, even me right now today, I'll get stubborn streaks and say, no, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to listen. No, I'm going to choose it. Friend, I've been punished and whipped, all those things, because I know what God's will is. And if I choose not to do it, I'm walking a different direction. Oh, I'm glad when I make my return trip. And I say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm failed. God, I just need to get back where I need to get. You know what? When that happens, it seemed like you sing better. It seemed like where you sit in a pew, it even sits better. It seemed like when you hear something from the Word of God, it just soothes. And it seemed like that old heart that once was troubled, all of a sudden, just God just kind of makes that heart happy. I'm glad to know that, friend, whenever you're in God's will, that return trip's a whole lot easier than when you're walking away. Because when you walk away from God, there's not a happy day. But coming back to Him, there's rejoicing. Kill that fatted calf. Put a ring. Give Him a robe. It's time to rejoice. Friend of mine, when you're in God's will, it's time to rejoice. I'm happy that I'm saved. I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm ready for you to call me today. Are you? Let's stand to our feet. God's speaking to you. You come today. Know Him in the free pardon of sin. Sing whenever you get ready, brother.